Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today. Sorry. Powered by Sam and Ash, Injury Attorneys, 702. So funny. I'll tell you in a second, 8201234, because you deserve what's right. Literally, I'm coming on the air, and I have to, like, yawn. You know what I mean? Where you get that yawn where you can't stop.
Oh, that's not good.
No, and it's like, and the rejoin music comes, and it's like, go, right? And then I'm like, ugh. So the only thing I could do is kind of laugh at that.
Do you stay up too late?
No. I got home. I had to edit some stories for the website. I wrote a column. So a little bit. Not too bad, though. Late for me, man. I'm old.
I was, what's the word for it? I was kind of exhausted, but it was not from, like, being up too late or anything. It was just, not overwhelming. Busy. That's the wrong word. But it just was one of those experiences that just kind of takes your breath away, especially with the way that the game shook out and how exciting of a game it was.
Yeah.
And just everything combined, it just really kind of just wore me out.
I think that too, and the fact that I'll be 51 on Wednesday.
Yeah, you're old, dude.
I know. It's like, man, you know, people, I see these, like, you. I know you were out the other night. You went to Stage Door, right? Lucille had her party.
Yeah, her birthday party.
Her birthday party there. Shout out to those guys at Stage Door. And so, like, man, they invited me because John over there at Stage Door invited me.
Good dude, yeah.
And totally great guy. And I was like, okay, I want to go. Right, even though I know we had the game the next day and my daughter was coming in early Sunday morning, but I want to go stop by, you know, it's cool. And dude, I was just exhausted. It was like 10 o'clock, you know, and you're like me, you're working like all day. You do like multiple different jobs and things and stuff like that. And so like when you do get the one day of the week, if you have one where you get to kind of chill.
Right.
You let loose and then all of a sudden you just pass out.
So. Right, exactly. And so after I got back to the room last night, I sat down to record the podcast. Uh-huh. And man, I'll tell you, I was burnt, man. I was burnt out. Like I was just worn out just from everything and the emotions of, you know, I mean, I'd say it all the time, man. I'm so overwhelmed and blessed to be in this opportunity and have the opportunity to do what I do for a living. I just kind of, it was like, whew, I just had to take a step back and almost pinch myself a little bit. It was awesome.
Yeah, no, I get that. It's a special thing to be able to be out there. And I had somebody DM me during the game last night and says, you know, sometimes what you do, that's pretty cool. Like you get to do that. I'm like, yeah, it is. Trust me. Pretty cool
all the time.
There's only a few hundred people in Las Vegas that get to go to Raider games. And we're fortunate we get to go there and talk about it and watch it so that we can express our opinions to you guys. So it's all great. All right, we're getting back on the phone lines. They are jam packed again for the second day in a row. We're going out to Marvin, who's been very patient. Marvin, you're on with Skew and Scott here on Silver and Black Today.
Good afternoon, brothers. How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
Chilling.
That's good. That's good. So I live in Las Vegas. I've been a Raider fan since the late 70s, and I worked out there at that Allegiant Stadium. I'm a Union brother.
Nice.
IBEW
nice.
Local 357.
Yeah.
I worked for CBS doing the broadcast, and I'm excited like a motherfucker. I didn't say the word.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome. I just have a couple of things, man, with Abram. You need to tone it down just a little bit. Stay in your lane. Stay on your assignment. Protect that goal line, you know? You have to protect that goal line. You can't panic when you see the quarterback rolling out. You got linebackers in the middle of the field. We got to protect that goal line, you know? And my other thing is Derek Carr. He got to stop lobbing the ball. He got to throw those balls. Let those guys run under those balls. You know, those guys is fast out there. So he should be able to drop back and throw those balls. I understand he was rolling out the pocket and everything when he threw that, but he got to start putting, you know, getting it out there and letting them run under it.
Marvin, Marvin, real quick, though, the pass at the end of the game?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. Dude, the guy was perfect throughout the rest of the game.
Yeah, No. But he loves him a lot, too, though. He got to, man, throw that ball, man.
Gotcha. I got you. Hey, and thanks for your work on the stadium, man. It's a beautiful thing, all you guys.
Man, that place is beautiful. Did y'all walk around everything? I was there.
Not everything.
Yeah, not everything. They only let us go in certain areas because of COVID. So. But Marvin, thanks, man. I appreciate the call. You take care now. All right. That was Marvin. Good deal.
And yeah, now, and look, I've heard people talk about Derek Carr and the way he lobs the ball or whatever. That's just his style.
It works, man.
It does. Yeah. And I think that he does give the wide receiver opportunities to run into the ball because he does kind of put that air underneath it. It gives him an opportunity to get down the field. I don't have a problem with it. It works, like you said, and I'm not going to try to fix something that's not broke.
Exactly. Okay, we're going out to our good man, Gangster Raider in Los Angeles. Uh-oh. Gangster Raider, give it to us, baby.
What's up, y'all, man? I'm feeling good, but I'm kind of, like, perturbed at the same time. Like, we had it. We had the game, you know what I'm saying? But we put up a good fight, and everybody played their role, you know what I mean? Everybody did their part. The defense played good until the last couple of minutes, whatever. But I blame this loss squarely on the coaches. First of all, John Gruden, for going, instead of we on the goal line, on the one-yard line, instead of kicking that field goal, we should have went for it. Even Derek Carr wanted to go for it. And then I blame the coaches for that 15-yard penalty that pushed us back, but we ended up having to kick the field goal. And we ended up losing by 4 points. If we scored that touchdown instead of a field goal, that touchdown that they made at the end of the game would have been just to tie it up, and they would have just been forcing overtime. Well, we'd have had 28 seconds. If Carr would have did something with the 28 seconds instead of did what he did, we probably could have still won it. But I blame this loss squarely on the coaches, Coach Gruden and the coaches that got the 15-yard penalty on the sideline. Have you ever heard of that? Coaches getting a 15-yard penalty on the sideline for being outside the box? That's like a high school coach's penalty, not a professional NFL coach. But I regress, you know what I'm saying? I'm proud of my Raiders. We did good. A bunch of people who bet me, you know what I'm saying? They even came back and told, yeah, your Raiders got a good team. I got a lot. They used to talk bad about us. So we got to put some respect on the Raiders' name, you know what I'm saying? So I'm feeling good about that. But we had it. We had it. It was in our clutches, you know what I'm saying? Also, another play that kind of did us. Remember when it was 3rd and 4 and Carr threw it to Aguilar, that long pass? He should have just dumped it down for the easy first down instead of trying to take the deep pass to Aguilar. Because you know it's 50-50 anytime you pass to him anyway. Plus, it was a long pass. I say he should have just checked down and got the easy first down, then went for that pass on first or second down at another after we got the first down. But otherwise, I'm feeling good. We showed up. We showed out. We made them put some respect on our name. And Raider Nation, we got the easiest schedule left, and we should run the table. Finish 12-4 and advance to the playoffs. I feel good. And y'all lucky. I'm man, especially UQ. Man, be in that stadium. Man, y'all, I would sell a body part to be in the stadium right now. Y'all lucky. Raider Nation.
All right, there you go, Gangster Raider.
Appreciate you. It is an honor. It is definitely an honor. You know, he had a lot there. I don't really put a whole lot on Gruden and the coaching staff. Look, they put up 31 points. You know, I mean, you give yourself an opportunity to win a game every single time you put up 31 points. But I know what he's talking about. I would have liked to see them go for it on 4th and 1 from the goal line. But after getting that penalty that you mentioned, you know, and that was more being outside the box, but also giving the officials the business and letting them know about themselves. You know what I mean? So they were really.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, Scott, that you can hear. I mean, when the official turns on his mic, and I guess you can't hear it on the TV broadcast, but when the official turns on their mic, you can hear the coaching staff screaming at the officials, and it just goes blaring right over the microphone.
Yeah, and they weren't using language we could say over the air.
It wasn't church music or church talk.
That's right. By the way, Gangster Raider, on Friday I talked about his vocabulary, how good it was, right? He used the word precipice on Friday, and today he used perturbed, so he's got a P thing going there. I love it. All right, we're going out. Right. One more call, and the rest of you guys, hold on. We will get to you, I promise. But one more call before we get to the Q-tip. It's our good friend Steven in New Orleans. Steven, you're on with Scott and Q. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing? It's a great day. I guess the Raiders need to just score a little bit more, or let me just say they need a plethora of points to come home with the victory. That's for you, Gangster Raider. I love you, man.
Peace. I love it.
You know, I can't blame Gruden. Look, he's building the beast. This team, for the first time since he was there the last time, I think can beat anybody. I hope we get to the point where he knows Derek is so good that when Derek goes, let's go for it, he eventually kind of gives in to his conservative ways. And I think that will happen. I do believe it'll get to a point where Derek can come over to the sidelines and have a little friendly debate the way Rich used to with John. And John will give in some of those times. But another point is I called for a Mullen interception, but I did call for a pick six. But I was happy to see him get a pick. I think he's going to get more. Because his rookie year, he really had his hands on three or four, and a couple of them would have been pick sixes. Oh, and was I the first person that direct messaged you about Witten last night when he caught it? Because my wife and I were in the car, and when you kept saying, you can't believe who it was, I came up with Witten right before you said it on the air, and we both started laughing. I've seen a lot of bad endings to the game. The Andre Rison game when Joe Bugel was a coach, when they let him get behind the corners in the end zone. But for whatever reason last night, I can tell you I didn't go to bed devastated. I told my wife and my son, if they score with – they have 2 minutes left, they'll probably win. If they have under a minute, they'll probably tie. And if they have less than 30 seconds when we score, we'll win. So, and I think if the roles would have been reversed, the Chiefs fans would have been sitting there like I was, knowing that Derek would take us down and we'd have won at the end. So I just really feel like it was a really good game. I think they have everything in front of them. They still have to earn it. And once again, I appreciate what you guys do. And I was jealous of you two being in the stadium as well last night. So, y'all have a great day.
Appreciate it, Steven. Thank you, man. Great call as always.
Yes, sir.
Also, we have Rossi and Mario holding on. Stay there, guys. We're going to get to you in just a minute. It's time, though, for a Las Vegas edition since he's in the zip code. It's time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Well, obviously, this one's coming off of a loss. This was a tough loss, like we started the show talking about. This one should have been a victory for the Raiders. They should have improved to 7-3. But, you know, there's no world for moral victories, you know, or good losses. I mean, it is a good loss, but still, it doesn't mean anything. It's still a loss. So what the Raiders need to do now, they can't allow this. This is what the Q-tip is really about today. They cannot allow this one loss to beat them twice. You know, they cannot get into that funk and just say, like, oh, well, you know, we lost that game and then still dwell on it and then parlay that into a loss to the Falcons, which turns into a loss to the Jets, and then all of a sudden your season goes downhill. And I know a lot of Raider Nation leading into this game was like, yeah, but last year we were right there at that point too, and then all of a sudden 6-4, and then we only won one more game the rest of the season. I don't believe that this team is that kind of a team. I think that they'll rebound in a major way. I think that's the reason why a guy like Jason Witten, who talked after the game in pretty great length, I think that's the reason why he's there in the locker room as well, to help these young guys kind of get over losses like this. And that's something that we could talk to Hunter about in a few minutes. But these guys just have to clear their mind, look at the film, see what they did wrong, and then get back to work. You cannot allow this loss to beat them twice. If they have plans to get to the playoffs like we all believe they do, you've got to get back on your horse. You've got to get back on a winning streak. You've got two games that you should win coming up, and you got to take it 1 week at a time. I know. You got the Falcons, you got the Jets, and then you got the Colts, who are obviously jockeying for a playoff position as well. That three-game stretch is going to be very, very important, but you got to one at a time. Falcons this week, Jets next week, and then the Colts. So you've got to just clear this. Don't worry about it. It's nice to know that you were close, and it would have been great to get a win. You didn't win, but like I've been saying, that was not a must-win game. But now it's very important that you get back on your horse, you ride it, and you start another win streak.
Exactly, Q. And I think that you look at this team, you're right. It's not the same team as last year, not even close. And I think they'll respond differently. It does not mean any win is a given. Of course, but at the same time, your point about not letting it beat you twice, this team and the coach, I mean, when you saw Gruden, we were watching that press conference from the press box. I don't think I've ever seen him that angry, disappointed, and just kind of at the same time. It was you could feel it. I wrote, you know, you could really feel it through the screen. And that's important, because as bad as that feeling is for him and for that locker room and the guys in the locker room, that's the feeling you need to remember, because the difference between being a good football team and a great football team is you can feel that way one game, and then the next game you come out and you do what you're supposed to and you build on that.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's what they have to do. They know. It was so disappointing because they know they should have beaten the world champions twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's good. It's not a bad thing. And I think that's why you're seeing throughout the country other folks like us who talk about this for a living, you're seeing them talk about the Raiders in glowing terms, because they saw, they realized, they didn't. So many of these people were telling us that they were going to get beat by 35 points. because they thought that the first time was a fluke. It was because the Chiefs didn't play well. Well, guess what? The Chiefs played well last night. The Raiders played well last night. And you saw a glimpse of what the AFC West is going to be like for the next 5 to 10 years. Okay. So, yep. So taking all of that together, they have to take that next step. And I think they will. It's a process. And that's why I think you have a lot of folks in Raider Nation not too upset today. But as always,
right.
Great,
and,
great stuff.
And I think that's the key. You hit it right there. That's why a lot of folks that you hear callers, they're not really as upset as normally you would think they'd be behind a loss, but because they know that, hey, this team is right there. But now it's up to the team to go out there and basically reward them for their belief in them. Go out there and forget about this loss and get back there and get, like I said, get on that horse and you got to ride it again and start a new win streak.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take one more call just because we know he's calling from all the way across the world. It's Rossi in Australia. Rossi, how you doing, buddy?
I want to be known as Purple Walrus from now on. The greatest audible ever. And my other question is, do you guys ship Silver and Black Viagra internationally? Do I have to pay some sort of tax for that as well?
I will talk to Honda and find out.
Guys, what is coming through from JT, from you guys, from the fans, is the reason why we've got that feeling, that loss feeling, I agree with you, we need to hold on to it, we need to learn from it, is because we actually, as a fan base, had an expectation to win.
Mm-hmm.
We were confident last week. We were going into this week. And as I said to you guys on Twitter, the one thing you want is the ball in Derek Carr's hands to win the game at the end. At the end. And unfortunately, we just left a little bit too much time. I can go into Abram. I think anybody that's heard me speak before, I'm not his greatest fan. If you look at the next-gen stats and his movement, he's a deer in headlights. That's absolutely fine. That's one player that's isolated. But ultimately, we now have this feeling because we are expecting our team to win. And as a Raiders fan, that hasn't happened for years. This is a fantastic feeling to go, right, you know what? We went toe-to-toe. I think Hondo said it best. We knocked them out in Kansas City and we lost on points in Vegas. That's absolutely fine. Let's go focus on Atlanta. Let's go focus on the Jets. Suddenly we're 8-4 and everybody's up and about again. So let's just not get that too downhearted. Learn from it. Abram's got to learn from his mistakes. A few other players have got to learn from their mistakes. But ultimately, this was a team. Your team wins and your team loses together. Carr did his job. Doesn't mean that he couldn't have done better. Just the same as I'm sure Aguilar is still waking up in the middle of the night in cold sweat thinking, man, if I'd caught that. And in gold. It's just the way that the game actually ended up. And the other thing is, and sorry, I know you guys have got Renfro in like 30 seconds. The other thing I wanted to say is it actually shows just how much the Chiefs respected us for them to put those drives together to keep Carr off the field. You talk about we've got to keep Mahomes off the field, we've got to run it down their throats and all of that. That was my game plan all the way along. But the sheer fact that they knew that their defense could not stop us and they had to control the time of possession and they had to control the field position, that's a massive respect to Gruden and to everybody else associated.
No doubt.
I'll let you go, guys.
All right, Rossi, thanks, man. We appreciate you as always. Good stuff. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will be joined by the Purple Walrus. No, by the slot machine himself. That is Mr. Hunter Renfro. 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the men and women of the Laborers Local 872, is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, you know, I don't believe in moral victories. I really don't. You know, I mean, I think this team, where it's at, it's the third year of the program. You know, we really feel like we can play with anybody. That's the type of team we expect to have, you know. And at the same time, it is a young team. And you just remind them, hey, listen, you know, 60 minutes with the world champs. They're a really good football team. You know, the only loss they had coming in tonight was us. And we got a lot of respect for them. Great players, great coaching staff. And, you know, took them all the way down the wire. So, again, these are the type of games games you want to play in come into November and early into December. Got a lot of football ahead of us. Disappointing loss. We got to watch that tape with a critical eye and get better, you know. And it's not, oh, man, we were close. That's not the mentality in there. It's a disappointment, but it's a group that believes in each other. And as a veteran presence, that's the reminder, you know, as this season unfolds, these are the games that you've earned to play in. Now you got to find ways to win them.
Some call him the slot machine. Others call him Third and Renfrow. It's time for our weekly conversation with Las Vegas Raiders wide receiver Hunter Renfrow. You're tuned into 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow, exclusively on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
All right, just a reminder, 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfrow, brought to you by the men and women of the Laborers Local 872. So we thank them for doing that. We go out on the phone line now and we talk to Hunter Renfrow. Hunter, I've been told to call you Purple Walrus.
Yeah, that was cool. Some people sent me that.
Did they?
But yeah, that's a good little audible, yeah.
Yeah, the audible, which, you know, we won't ask you for the tricks of the audible trade because first of all, we know you won't tell us, but people got a kick out of it, and everybody started tweeting at us last night. When you talk to Hunter, you got to call him Purple Walrus, so we promised the listeners.
I'll let Derek know we need to change a few of those signals.
Yeah, between that and the James Harden one, it's been going all over the internet. Yep. It's kind of funny stuff. But anyway, Hunter, listen, I know, you know, disappointing loss for you guys, a great game for the spectator to watch. Raider fans today are very positive, which is a good thing, you know, because usually after a Raider loss, Raider Nation is so passionate that it ruins the rest of the week. But I think everybody was so proud of you guys, and they know that you're so close. Talk about for you the range of emotions, especially towards the end of the game where you guys go up. Jason catches that big touchdown pass as Derek leads you down the field yet again, and then you have Patrick Mahomes come out and score that last touchdown. What was it like for you guys on the sideline?
Yeah, we got to get better, you know. I think you played a clip by Jason saying we're a young team and moral victories aren't a thing. And we would like to have won it, but I think offensively, and I can only speak for the offense, there were some drives where we feel like we could have scored some points. I think we were up 7 points at one point in the third or fourth quarter. We went 3 and out, or we had a quick drive and punted it. And we could have got points there. We should have scored before we kicked the field goal in the first half, we could have scored points there, a touchdown there. But it all kind of comes down to the last drive. We finally get it. We finally go. Jason Witten makes a great play. Derek does a great job. He has so much time because the offensive line is just mauling him. And we score there, and then we put it on our defense. And they've won games for us in the past. And if we're going to get to where we get to, then we're going to have to stop them there.
Hunter, one thing I noticed watching the game, we were in the press box talking about it, we were saying that it looks like that the offense is almost a well-oiled machine. Now, you mentioned that there was a couple drives that you still needed to score. Ultimately, mm-hmm. you only ended up punting the ball twice throughout the night. But yeah. You guys just look like you are all in sync with each other. You know what to do. There's scramble drills going on, and you guys are all kind of picking up on it. Plus, Derek Carr mm-hmm. is moving around with his legs, keeping plays alive.
Exactly.
Just how confident is that offense right now?
Yeah, I think we go as Derek goes, and Derek's playing with a lot of confidence, and we believe in him, and he's playing at a top level right now. Some throws he made, kind of running to the right and throwing back left. I told him it was a little risky, but he knows exactly what he's doing, and he's just fun to watch, and he's fun to play with. You heard all the audibles, getting us into good run plays and checking the plays of the line of scrimmage, and so we expect, not from a cocky standpoint, just from the preparation we put in, we expect to go and score touchdowns and expect to move the ball when we want to, when we do our job. And when we don't, it's frustrating. It's the Chiefs have a good defense, really good defense, but we feel like we can only control what we control. So we got to go out there and we have to capitalize. We have to score every time we get the ball. And that's kind of our mindset. But, it's tough to lose a game, but I'm excited about the way we're playing offensively and the way Derek's playing, and it's going to be a fun next couple weeks.
And Hunter, sticking with that as well, in college you played with Deshaun Watson. You won a national championship with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. He was that guy that you knew that as long as he was on the field, you had a puncher's chance to win any game. Matter of fact, probably a better than a puncher's chance. And he was never rattled. Yeah. He was always cool as the other side of the pillow. Is that the same vibe that you get from Derek Carr?
Yeah. Derek makes the everyone around him better. I've been saying that for 2 years, and it's funny just how you win games and people think he's a really good quarterback and you lose games and all the blame unjustifiably goes on him. And so it's just watched him to be it's fun to watch him being the same person through it all. And thankfully we're winning some games and he's getting the credit he deserves because he's as good as I've been around and he's making everybody around him better. The receivers, it's just fun. It's just fun getting us to the right plays. And, he's making the offensive line better, making some of the plays he's making, and it's just been he's raising everybody's game for sure.
You're listening to 13 Minutes here with Hunter Renfroe on Silver and Black today, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. And Hunter, what is it with these teams? I mean, obviously you guys are rivals now, and Derek said before the first game this year that you guys had to do a little more winning to make it a rivalry. I think after last night's game, that rivalry's back. But you look at the Chiefs, all the other opponents this year have averaged 17.5 points against that Chiefs defense, which you talked about being good. You guys are averaging 35.5 points. What is it about your offense, their defense, and the matchups that are so favorable for you?
I think Gruden does a really good job. I think it starts with him, the play calling, getting us into the right plays, Derek taking that. I think that's where it starts with. Mm-hmm. Coach Gruden is just an unbelievable play caller. He knows how to attack defenses. And then we just have a bunch of guys that are working hard. I don't really have a great answer for you. I feel like,
okay.
I don't feel any different going against them than we do the Bills or Tampa Bay, you know. We still feel like if we go out there, then we expect to score. And so I don't really know of any matchups per se, but it's just seemed to work out the last couple of weeks or last two times we played.
How do you go and look at this film and realize that, hey, that was a game that we let get away, but hey, we were right there at the end, and then immediately flush it, clear it, and move on to Atlanta?
You got to do in the NFL and sports in general. You kind of got to flush it and you learn. And I know we've talked in the past about whether we win games or lose games, we got to get better on Wednesday. And we're certainly going to do that. And the difference about this game is we knew we had a chance last night, and we know that potentially we could face them in the playoffs. But we have to do what we need to do the next 6 weeks to get a good seed and get in the playoffs. And then hopefully we can have a rematch with them down the line. But this game is kind of it's in the rearview mirror, and we're just going to have to go focus on the next 6 weeks to earn that right to go play them again.
And Hunter, you know, a lot of people look at last year, right? After 10 games, you guys were 6-4 at the same time, same record, and things you got a lot of injuries towards the back end of the year, and things kind of mm-hmm. unraveled. And I keep telling people, look, this is a different team. You have different players, different mentality, a lot of different, I think, guys who have the same mindset that folks like you do and folks like Coach Gruden and Derek have. Tell people that difference that you feel between this time after 10 games this year versus last year.
Yeah, I had no idea we were 6-4 this time last year because it just feels like we're so much more improved. I think we were 3-2 going into the bye week both years as well. And I remember talking to some of the guys on the team and just saying how much better we were this year and how differently it felt. Just feeling like we had a much better chance to make the playoffs and doing some of the things that we wanted to do down the line. And it is different. Like you said, guys, a lot of the guys on our team, whether it's free agents or guys we drafted, just have the same mentality that we got to go and it's our time. We don't need to wait 2 or 3 years. We're not rebuilding. We can go win a championship this year. And so hopefully we can finish better. And I think the guys that were on the team last year had that in the back of our minds of how we finished. We didn't like that. That's why we worked so hard this offseason. And so it's kind of ironic. God winks at you sometimes, puts you in the same position, same record, and giving us a kind of second chance at it. So hopefully we can do well down the stretch.
Hunter, you've told us many times that you don't worry about how many times you get targeted a game. You just want to make the plays when it's called for you. When it comes your direction, you want to make it happen. Henry Ruggs, the rookie, has been the same guy. He hasn't got targeted a lot. A lot of Raider Nation, you know, wants to see the speedster get involved and, you know, really getting in the end zone a lot and just being that guy. But he doesn't get targeted a whole lot. Do you ever have any kind of pep talks with him and say, hey, don't worry, young fella, the targets are going to come your way? Or is he just, is his mindset where he's not worried about it?
No, he's an even keel guy. He doesn't get he's not a very selfish guy, so he understands it's about winning. It's not about how many catches you have, and kind of we talk about as an offense, and Coach Gruden talks about how Cliff Branch only had 4 catches, I think, in his first 2 years in the NFL, and so don't worry about it. Like, he's one of the best deep ball guys ever, and so don't worry about it. Like, just put speed on film, and the more speed people see, they're going to fear you, and then we're going to start hitting some of those deep balls and some of the routes that we want to throw. And so just for him to be patient, his time will come. He's really talented, and he's a special player, and he knows that, and I don't think his confidence is shook. I think he definitely knows that, and I'm excited for these next how many ever weeks we have left for him to show that.
Hunter, before we let you go today, I know we heard Jason Witten coming back from the break, and when he came out to talk to the media last night after the game, you know, I thought it was a brilliant move because I know how important guys like that are in the locker room. Talk about what it means after a close, kind of gut-wrenching loss like that where you guys played so well but you come up on the short end. Having a guy like that in the locker room to keep everybody kind of focused and together.
Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. I was actually going to come on the podium next right after him, so I was standing there like 5 feet to his left, 6 feet, because we're social distancing, to his left watching him, and just the things that he had to say, the calming nature. And when you just look at a guy like that, he didn't have to say anything. He's been playing for 17, 18 years, however long it is. He's played in so many of these games. He played in so many seasons, and he's had these type of games. And so just looking at him and just having that perspective of, all right, you win some, you lose some, but it's all about getting better. And I think he's the epitome of that. And then when you talk to him, he has such a calming nature about him that the game is the game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The wins and losses will take care of themselves if you play it the right way. And you get back to work, and you work on things you need to improve, and that's what he's meant to us. And it's been cool to kind of ask him about all his Monday night calls on the radio and broadcast, and ask him about some of the stories he has. So to be with a Hall of Famer like that is unbelievable, and something that I'll definitely tell my kids about.
That's cool. Hunter Renfroe here on 13 Minutes with Hunter Renfroe, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. We thank you as always, my friend, and good luck in Atlanta. We'll talk to you after the big win.
Absolutely. Big win. Let's do it.
That's right. All right. There you go. Hunter Renfroe. Always good stuff. We appreciate him and taking
the time. I like
how
you snuck that one in there.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty good. You planted a seed.
I did. You got it, man.
Planted the seed on Monday and water it on Tuesday, fertilize it on Wednesday, and then by Sunday, it's bound to grow.
There you go. Hey, they need to go on the road, win now. They got 2 on the road now before they come home in 3 weeks as well to face the Chargers. So good way. Hey, look, they've been better on the road as far as this year. The whole home field advantage doesn't exist basically across the NFL.
Across the league.
Yeah. Yeah, but good news there. And I asked that question about Witten at the end because I really felt like they put Witten out there last night on purpose, because with such a gut, I can only imagine, and I didn't ask Hunter because I think it's a private thing, but I can only imagine what it was like in the locker room. It had to be terrible, right?
Oh, yeah, you could tell by Gruden's body language. You could tell by Derek Carr's body language how rough it was in the locker room following that game. That one got away.
Yeah, it did. And to put Witten out there, I think, was perfect, because not only was it the right guy to send out, but it was an example. And Hunter said he was standing right there by him watching how he was doing it. You know, that is so very important. And so when people, you know, still to this day are like, why did they sign Witten? That's why. It's hard to sometimes quantify because you're not in the room. You're not in the building.
Yeah.
It's a leadership thing. It's a maturity thing. And it will benefit the Raiders on down the line. Okay, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we'll try to sneak in a phone call or two. And then we're also going to be joined by our good friend, Sam. Sam and Ash, who close out our Monday show as well. You're listening to Scott and Q here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today. Here's Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Silver and Black Today on this Monday. Talking Raiders football, big loss to the Chiefs. I say big loss, loss to the Chiefs. It was a big loss, but something about it feels different. You know, when you're making progress, Q, it just feels different.
Yeah, it does. You could tell that the team is a quality team now. It's not, again, when you win in week five, anyone could say, yeah, but. You know what I mean? Because it was only once. But then all of a sudden, you give the Chiefs the run for their money like the Raiders did last night. All of a sudden, everyone, in prime time, by the way, realizes, oh, wow, this team is for real. This team is going to give other teams fits. And look, and I know you can't assume the playoffs. We could talk about it because that's what we do. But if they get to the playoffs, man, this is going to be a team that other teams are not going to want to play. They have too many weapons, and they execute on offense too good to really, you know, to for other teams to just not, you know, not take them seriously. They're going to have to really step their game up. And so I'm excited about the future and the direction that they're headed.
All right, we're going to get one caller in quick before we get to Sam and Ash. Mario's been holding forever. Mario, you're on with Scott and Q. What's going on, Mario?
Hey, greetings to the Raider Nation. Shout out to my fam, Roger and Mark Abernethy out there in Vegas. I just want to say, hey, I've been on hold for quite some time listening to Raider Nation. I come to you guys this evening in peace, all the way from Kansas City, home of the Chiefs Kingdom, you know. And basically saying, hey, when the Raiders signed Mayock as their GM, I knew then, I said, oh, this team is going to be on the up, because I always watched Mayock on TV, his ability to evaluate talent. I knew that he was a sharp dude and a good talent evaluator. And so with that being said, I see that the things that Mayock is doing and that he's bringing that team along. So I come, like I said, with respect. I will say this. The Raiders are a legitimate team with Mayock at the helm. Hey, I congratulate Vegas. I love the city of Las Vegas. Like I said, I've been out there several times to visit family. Beautiful city, the mecca of entertainment, if you will. And I got to tip my hat for you guys for procuring the Raiders to come to Vegas and, you know, building them that state-of-the-art facility, if you will. So, like I said, even though I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan, born and raised in Kansas City, I'm not a hater. I'm a legitimate fan, and I try to evaluate talent. I see the Raiders on the up and coming. And so, hey, much respect to them. Again, Chiefs might see the Raiders again in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, it's not going to be no cakewalk. I think the AFC as a whole is a cakewalk. I think you see the AFC as a whole even coming up. The Chargers have a lot of talent. Mm-hmm. They just had, you know, hit on some things. Even the Broncos have had some pieces. They just got to figure out if Locke's going to be their guy.
Yep.
Herbert, good quarterback. I mean, so the AFC is going to be tough, you know, for years to come, because I'm expecting the Chargers to hit on some players in the draft, and I'm sure that the Raiders are going to add some more with Mayock. And so the Chiefs need to make some adjustments in some areas I would like to see them do as well. I believe that Veach is very astute at evaluating talent as well. So, I mean, I think the AFC West and Elway is always going to keep his foot on the gas to build a winner. So with that being said, I think it's going to be interesting. And like I said, I respect the Raiders. I hope that, you know, people in Vegas respect the Chiefs. I know that they've been up and down, and we've never had the aspects of some things that some of the other players and teams have had, like a good quarterback, you know, like the Broncos and that. We've always got those retread quarterbacks from other organizations. I was pissed when the Chiefs and that dumb Carl Peterson, yes, I'll say it, let Rich Gannon leave and didn't start him in the Super Bowl. We could have went to the Super Bowl then, but it's mismanagement. So I think that you guys are doing better because y'all getting some stability. When you have stability, you can build an organization. And I just want to say this. I'm glad Patrick Mahomes is on our team. We finally got a quarterback where we can compete. I think the AFC West is going to be competitive between all the teams. And so I respect the Raiders and everybody else in the division, but I just want to know what you guys think about Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, we got some holes, but let me know what you guys think.
Yeah.
About
hey, Mario, sorry, man. We got to let you go because we're running out of time. But, hey, listen, first of all, thank you for calling.
Great call.
You get a call from a member of Chiefs Kingdom there giving respect to the Raiders. That's good fandom. All this fighting and tweeting back and forth, that's just not for me. I get why some of you do it. I know you enjoy it, and I'm not casting dispersions on you, but it was nice of Mario to call, so thanks for Mario. Hey, the Chiefs are the class of the division still. Until the Raiders or someone else beats them, that's the reality.
They're the class of the AFC right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as simple as that. And, you know, the Raiders are on the come up. But, no, the Chiefs got a good team, man, good squad. And I've covered Patrick Mahomes or watched him at least, you know, covering the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that he was a dog when they got him. So they're blessed to have that guy.
All right, we're going out on the phone line now, our newsmaker line, and we bring in our good friend Sam of Sam and Ash, of course, injury attorneys. They are they power this show, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. So Sam joins us. Ash, are you with us today? No, Ash, it's just Sam, right?
No, Ashley. Just me, but...
she's upset over the loss.
I know. she's let us down, and you get the second-rate guy here, so... Anyway,
how about
good to
that?
Be with you.
How about that showcase last night for Las Vegas and our Raiders?
Oh, my gosh. So, okay, we lost, but it was a great game.
It was a great game. Yeah, it was.
And the Chiefs are a great team, and we are giving them a run for their money.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think everybody, and Sam, that's the call. The calls that have come in today have been very positive. Usually Raider Nation is not, it's sort of like, you know, when you wake up in the morning after drinking too much and you're not exactly really happy. That's how Raider Nation usually reacts to losses because they're so passionate. They're such great fans. But today, with how good their team has played this season, especially against the defending world champions, they are much, much in a better place than they would have been in the past.
Absolutely, and I am so encouraged, and I think Vegas is doing good things for the Raiders. I think they needed this this whole time. They should have moved here earlier.
So,
just build it, baby.
I am stoked, and it was really cool.
Well, and so Sam, the other thing I want to talk to you about today, because I'm getting some heat on Twitter, is over this whole. So Nevada is not doing a shutdown, but they are kind of doing a shutdown because Governor Sisolak, right before the kickoff, by the way, yesterday, good timing, decides to say, hey, there's some new restrictions because we've seen a surge apparently of cases of COVID within the state of Nevada. So he's now instituted these mask mandates more. Like if you're outside, you have to wear a mask. Even if you're socially distanced, you still have to wear a mask. And you can't have large gatherings at your home. And then one that struck to me was I was planning on going out to Christmas dinner with my family. You can't have more than four people at a table at a restaurant, which are only going to be at 25% capacity. So I, like, for example, I have seven people in my immediate household, so I can't go out anywhere. I'm basically have to stay home, which is fine, whatever. But question for you is, I'm starting to see videos from all over the country here in Nevada of business owners and individuals, not crackpots. I'm talking about people who are really concerned with their business, who now are kind of saying, hey, I've had enough. We did our part. We tried to help. But now you're going to take away my livelihood. Are we going to start seeing lawsuits over this, Sam?
I think so. And I think... I actually think it's going to, there's a few different tacks that could work, or I guess strategies that could work to fight this. And one of the things that, you know, that I think is going to be most problematic for these governors is to explain why certain, where the lines are drawn, how certain industries are allowed to stay open, businesses are allowed to stay open, and others are being scaled back. And so the thing to look for here is any kind of rule that is put out there that has different restrictions being put on different industries. There's a terrific lawsuit right now progressing in the state, and it's still active, where a number of adult establishments have ladies working in them, and I'm going to try to be circumspect about this. But
hold up, now.
But they're brothels, okay? They're brothels, and they still remain shut down. And the irony is it's really these are one on one. I understand there's close contact, but you know you can wear protection and you can wear a mask too. You know,
yeah.
And at the same time, you know, salons and nail salons and places where you're also, you know, very closely interacting with people, arguably a higher volume of people in a more crowded setting, those are being allowed to be open. So there's these judgment calls that are being made on what works. And four to a table, six to a table, it's very arbitrary. And I'm with you. I'm a family of five. And basically any Catholic and any Mormon right now can't go out to dinner with the family. It's just not going to, you know, I'm speaking for the two of us here,
yeah,
Scott. So
yeah,
we're out of luck. Like we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I could see a legal challenge on those grounds. I think yes. And I also think that we've gotten to a point where we've done this, you know, we've done this before and we've worn our masks. And I actually see a lot of compliance with mask wearing around town. I don't see people really thumbing their nose at it. And so we've been wearing our masks and, you know, we still have this rise in cases. And what if these mitigation efforts that the governor has put in, what if they just don't work at all? Like they're not going to fix it. And the only answer is a total isolation shutdown, which we just can't afford.
Right. And to me too, like the curfew in California, I mean, does the coronavirus doesn't spread during between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. But then after 10 p.m., it's a problem. And that limits your
10:01.
Yeah,
and 10:01, COVID comes out.
And that's not a political statement. That is just about businesses being able to operate so that people can feed their families. Sam, thank you as always. We're out of time. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. Say hello to Ash for us.
Will do. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a great day.
All right, Q, there we go. It's a Monday. It's in the books, my friend. Take care, and we will talk to you tomorrow here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio. This is